through playing now. I got a one track mind. Heard that. We can do that too. You know that one? We'll do that in a minute. Let's see what else we got him. You know that Cindy in Acorn?
That what?
Get along home, Cindy in Acorn.
Oh, yeah, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, we got it.
probably be about 15.
Can you go in G chord on that dog?
Yeah, man.
Yo, take me by the tusk. Playing now.
Tomorrow we'll have a little more.
Take me back to Tussle. I'm too young to marry.
I'm telling you what,
Chris. To Tussle. I'm too young to marry. See that gal?
So far today, we've been talking mostly about the hard work involved in having your life involved with the forest, but now we're going to talk a little bit about some of the more amusing and leisure time activities that go on, hunting and fishing, and also some of the preparation involved in doing that. The people I've got here all have other talents as well, but for right now I've got them called in to talk about some of these activities. I have on my right Audra Terry, then Mr. Bobby Johns, then Marinelle Bailey, and Arthur Bailey. I'll go ahead and ask a few questions, and then you all can swap some stories. I have a feeling at least that Arthur and Bobby have a few stories that they might want to build on one on another. But Audra is involved in something that I didn't know anything about till I started talking to people, which is getting the worms that you need if you're going to do fishing with worms. Never occurred to me, you know, worm farms or something. But this is not where you get worms from. Audra, explain to us about what you do and how you sell these worms and the whole process.
Okay, the first thing is you get up early in the morning, something like 3 or 4 o'clock. You have to be in the woods by daylight. Otherwise, it gets hot real early and you don't get any bait. Some of you may have went around and saw me demonstrating. But you take a wooden stake, just any wooden stake, it doesn't matter what kind of wood. You can use white, bay, persimmon, black gum, just most anything you'd like to use. Some people prefer different types. But you can take a car spring. You take just a 2x6, 2x4 board, and rub across when you drive the stake into the ground, and then you just rub it across. The vibration is what makes the worms come up, and they just come up all around on the ground. And you just pick them up and put them in a bucket. Okay, a lot of people haul crews, which, you know, they'll pick up several people, go out on a truck, a car, gather the bait. When it gets hot, they stop coming up. But you get down in a low area where it's kind of damp and moist, the dirt's soft. And you put them in buckets, you take them back. Okay, we have people that we sell them to wholesale. They, in turn, put them in sawdust. Sometimes they put them in 5-gallon buckets with sawdust and ship them out like that. Sometimes they put them in little cups, like probably some of you go to the service stations and buy, or bait and tackle places. Usually they put 22 to 25 worms in this little bit of sawdust in a cup. These wholesalers pack these in cases, usually 60 cups to a case, and they take them to North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, and different parts of the state, Mississippi, Louisiana, all around in different areas to fish with. And so basically that's how you come by them. You know, they just go out in the woods and gather them, and then they're taken to the bait and tackle places.
How much is a worm worth?
Well, it depends. It runs different prices. Depends on the season. In the wintertime, when there's not much fishing goes on, they don't cost as much. Mm-hmm. We get paid something like $11 for 500. Okay, right now they're paying $18 for 500. Uh-huh. So that's like $3.60 a hundred. And that's the way we sell them, by 50s or 100. Mm-hmm. But I don't know just what they get for them. Mm-hmm. The different prices when they get in the store, because each person has to make a little bit from it. Mm-hmm. But they run different prices just depending. Of course, they're harder to get in the wintertime. You can sell all you can get. You just don't get that many. In the wintertime, you can get them. You just don't have a sale for them because no one's fishing that much. Most people's hunting. Or it's too cold to get out. You know, the fish are not biting. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So it just depends.
Mary Nell has been my source to find out about a kind of fishing that I've never been involved in, but she used to be on the fringes of, kind of, when she was a young lady, which is fishing for suckers. Will you tell us about that?
It's been about 35 years since I went sucker fishing. But the best I can remember, everybody in the community would cook. The ladies would do the cooking during the day, like potato salad, greens, good old groceries to take to the creek that night. The men would go down to the creek and put out a wire. You put out a wire up above the swimming hole and a wire below the swimming hole, but you left a little gate open and the wire and the lower wire on one side. And the suckers come up the river into the creeks in February. Okay? Back to the cooking at the house. They'd load the blankets in the back of the trucks, load up coats and clothes and stuff, get the old coffee pot ready for the fire, go down to the river bank, down on the creek bank, and when the moon got right up to the top of the trees, all the men would go down to the creek bank. Well, the women would be up making coffee, tending to the young and screaming and hollering and cutting up. And then it would get real quiet. All of a sudden, all you could hear was screaming and hollering, the water splashing, because the men had to take all their clothes off so they could go jump in the creek, get the fish, sneak down and close that gate, jump in and get the fish, throw them out on the bank, bring them on up, and clean them. And cleaning sucker fish is something I don't know anything about. He might. You have to cut them real fine to be able to eat them because they're real bony. The bones are hair fine. But when we got them up on the bank, got them clean, got everybody's plate fixed, we had a good time telling tall tales, watching young'uns play. Can you explain a little bit about how to clean them?
Clean sucker fish just like you clean a scale fish. But when you cut him, you cut him in smaller than a quarter of an inch. Cutting them bones.
Sections.
In little sections. But you never cut the fish apart. You just cut the bones into. But to me, it's the better fish than any fish in the river.
It's a very sweet fish.
Sweet tasting
clean
fish.
Clean, sweet fish.
Yes.
Eat bones and all.
Except for your bigger bones. Yes.
Would you eat it all in one big feast or smoke some of it when you did it?
I don't know anything about smoking it, but we did take it home, and the ones we didn't cook, they did can like you do salmon. Uh-huh. We still do it today.
We smoke mullet, but not any sucker fish.
Not sucker, okay. Well, the Baileys offered to take me sucker fishing. We didn't quite pull it off, but I gathered that they were not going to require me to pull my clothes off and jump into the creek. I think it's a little different now. What are the changes, yeah. Arthur? Can you talk about that or Marinelle?
He's been since I have.
The way we do it now, well, we go to a lake. We manage Georgia Timberland. The company that I work for manages 40,000 acres for Travelers Insurance, and they got about a 45-acre lake or a pond, what we call Hammond's Pond. And there's sucker fish in there. We go set up a net, drive stakes in the ground, just set up a regular fish net. And as they swim into it, they hang up, and then we go out and we... Sir?
A gill net?
A net, yes, sir. And we go out and pull the net up, get the fish, but we don't get in the water today like we did several years ago.
And don't make good coffee like you used to in that old pot either.
What kind of a net do you actually use? Did the fish get caught in it?
Yeah.
Just a
fish net.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you drop behind the boat like?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Okay. I've not used a net. I grew up with using chicken wire. Sir?
What kind of a worm did you pull up out of the ground?
It's just earthworms.
There's no wigglers, just earthworms?
Just earthworms. No wigglers you have to dig for still.
They got more sense than
the... I reckon so. that vibration don't bother them. Just the earthworms.
Have you ever heard of the Calhoun County worm? Calhoun County?
I'm not sure, but I have.
Because they bring them down in this area and sell them. Calhoun County earthworm.
There's a
Florida.
A lot of worms
50 miles west of Tallahassee.
South.
Sir?
There's a lot of worms farther south.
That's wigglers and red worms.
Right. Because earthworm, you don't grow in a bed.
You don't have
a bed. You don't have beds for those. You just go out in the forest. We go out in the Apalachicola National Forest, and you learn to pick the soil, the type of soil, and you get down in the low, wet places, down next to the swamp. No, sir. You just take the iron and stob and just drive it in the ground and rub it across the stake.
The vibration
is what brings
some of the worms are almost as big as a pencil.
Some of them are real big, and then sometimes you get smaller ones. But these are bigger than the red worms. They're bigger than a wiggler.
That's the kind of worm we ship to Japan. They cook them till they get the size of a sausage and put rice in them.
Oh, it's Teddy. Hey, we got another market for him instead of a fish.
That might be a little better.
Right. That might be a little bit better for us.
Oh, one thing I need to...
Money-wise.
One thing I need to make clear. The reason the men and the boys had to take their clothes off before they jumped in the creek was once you got in that cold water and got wet... and got out, and the wind hit you, you'd probably freeze standing still. You wouldn't get any of that good coffee because you'd be froze standing on the creek bank. But then when you got back out and got up to the fire that was down by the bank, you could get warm and put your dry clothes back on.
Mr. Johns has been telling me that he's done some unusual kind of fishing, that at least that I hadn't heard about, growing up in Georgia, not too far from Florida. Tell us about that.
Well, what we did was what we call root fishing. Probably some of you have done a little root fishing. It's done with your hands. And I've heard it called grappling in other areas. I think in Alabama they call it grappling. Down in South Georgia we just called it root fishing because that's where we got them. When you're talking about getting your clothes off there, that's the way I learned to swim. We all went root fishing one day, and everybody stripped off and went in, and they go along the banks and feel with the hands all up under the banks and the roots, and when they feel the fish, and of course they catch them. And although after you do it a while, you kind of can identify what you got, and sometimes you decide you don't want what you got. So it has happened a few times. I've seen my daddy throw snakes out on the bank, you know, he liked to play with me. I don't think Daddy liked me. He he used to tell me, here comes a nice one, and he'd throw a snake out, and of course I'd be standing there all dumb thinking about supper, and out come this snake, you know, and I'd have to do a little jig and get out of the way. But of course he never really tried to hurt me, I guess. But when the day that I learned to swim, they were all out there doing that, and I think they got a little bored, and they decided they were going to throw me in and teach me how to swim. And they did. But, you know, revenge is sweet. When I got back on that hill, I gathered up everybody's clothes, and it was about most of the afternoon there, me throwing in brogan shoes and overalls and things, and they'd try to dig them out of the bottom of the creek there. But the grappling was a lot of fun, or root fishing, because there was no bait necessary, no poles, lines, hooks. It was just everybody in there having a good time. I think part of the fun was not knowing what you were going to come out with. And usually you would catch everything from bass to catfish to whatever. And we some of the places we had the hollow logs we'd take and put out on the bottom, and we'd know where they were at. And maybe a couple of guys would go down, and one get on one end of it and block it, and the other get on the other end and block it, and we'd come out with it. Y'all, excuse me. And we'd, of course, trap the fish inside the hollow log. You'd go out on the hill and dump them out and put your log back in there the next time. We're thrashing around in the water, you know. They would just go right back in there. So that was a good way to catch some fish. But that's old South Georgia root fishing.
Uh-huh. You said you'd come up with a little alligator every once in a while.
Yeah, like I say, the fish like to hide in gator dens. There's good places to you know, an old gator will get under there and waller him out of hole, and the fish like to get in there. And you just have to use good sense and what time of year it is where there's going to be any problems there on who's got residence that day. So you just have to kind of watch old gators. But occasionally we would come out, and I used to laugh real, real heavy, you know, and somebody would be going back to New York with one of the little gators I done sold them, you know. So it was a lot of fun.
How much could you get for a baby gator?
I used to get $2 for a gator. $2 a piece, yeah. But my daddy was making 50 cents a day, so that wasn't too bad.
You'd get more than that for one night, wouldn't you?
I'm afraid so. Maybe 10 years. Yeah, I used to laugh to myself. They talk about them gators up there in New York sewer system. And I used to wonder, I wonder how many of them I sent up there. But I don't think that's really true. But that was part of it, you know. I think survival makes people do a lot of things that they ordinarily wouldn't do. And I know my folks always tried to have fun in whatever we done, where it was working or playing. And they tried to make it a little as much entertaining as they could. Of course, like Marinette was talking about cooking them up later, that was kind of the highlight. And that's what made me work real hard. As you can see, I've had a fun interest in food. And I used to work real hard to catch them old fish.
What else can I talk about?
That's it.
I know both, it's Marinette's cousin and Mr. Johns here have caught gophers, but you have different ways of doing it. Will you each talk about how you do it? Let you go first.
I had an uncle that lived out in the sand ridges, we called it. And they didn't have a store to go to. So gopher pulling was the thing. If you had gopher on your table, you was in high cotton.
Do these folks know what a gopher is? I had to learn. I thought we were talking about furry creatures.
Land.
Did you eat any?
Land tortoise.
No. Land tortoise.
Did the little feet hang over the pot as you
cooked? Yeah.
How about the tripe? Was it pretty good?
I still eat that. cook up a pot of gopher. with a pan of cornbread, maybe some greens on the side. I never did get to go gopher pulling, but I heard a lot about it. Now, Arthur might have gone. Have you gone?
Never went.
They would take a long vine and put a wire on the end of it. Go out in the fields or out in the woods and locate a gopher hole. And if you wasn't particular, you'd pull out some pretty mean boogers out of that hole, like rattlesnakes. So it would take probably 2 good hours to get enough to make a big pot of stew with of gophers. They would bring them home. And so far as I know, the men had the responsibility of cleaning them. But it was the women's part of the cooking and that parboiling. There wasn't anybody around to smell that going on. That was some strong odor. But once it started mellowing out, you couldn't stay out of that kitchen. It was good.
I never had the pleasure.
It was good. It was good. Very tender.
I think gophers, can you still catch them? Are they?
They have like hunting season now, gopher pulling season. And I don't even know when that is, do you?
October, I think.
I think so, yeah.
It's been a long time.
Two.
I don't know.
I think it's a limit.
Two per year, or two per...
I think two per year.
I think they stopped it over on our side, over on the East Coast altogether.
Is that right?
Well, folks found out it was better than chicken and beef, yeah. So, and a lot cheaper.
Between folks pulling them out and the developments, about like that.
I know Mr. John's had, he's described to me a different way, not having to pull them out. Tell him about your technique for getting gophers.
Well, I agree with it. They sure are good when you get them out. We kind of had I guess we were lazy. That's what it was. We had a little trap line set up, and we'd take 5-gallon